Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, in our special seasonal episode, we review the last 12 months, heading around the globe to hear from some of our leading analysts about the stories that have informed the year where they are. Whether it's robust growth for Europe, Trump's turbulent first year, or the resilience of China, our panel will bring us up to speed with what's defined 2017 in their part of the world. We start with a market overview from Kiran Ganesh, Executive Director at UBS Wealth Management. Kiran, looking back on 2017, in terms of a market overview, how would you sum up the year just gone?
I think one of the big trends that pervaded through the year was the relative weakness in the US dollar. Remember that as we entered 2017, the US had just elected Donald Trump as president. There was a lot of excitement there in the financial community, at least, about some of the potential infrastructure spending that he could engage with and whether that might lead to much higher interest rates in the US. As we went through the year and some of that proved more difficult, while growth in places like Europe improved quite significantly, we did see a trend throughout the year of currencies like the euro and the British pound appreciating relative to the US dollar. A second trend, and partly as a result of the weakness in the US dollar, was strength in the emerging markets, which really performed very strongly all the way through the year. Much stronger than expected growth from China, but also from a number of other emerging regions like Russia and Brazil, also helped boost up some of the emerging market stocks. And stock markets more generally did perform very well also, with double-digit returns yet again, and driven by much stronger than expected profits growth.
The Eurozone and growth there has very much been another story, hasn't it, Kiran?
Europe clearly performed much better than we'd expected. I think we had a positive view going into the year, but it surprised even that positive view. And we've got consumer confidence at multi-year highs. Most interestingly, from my perspective, we started to see investment starting to recover. The big missing piece in the jigsaw for the Eurozone for many years was the fact that businesses simply weren't investing in future growth. And now they seem to have sufficient confidence to be doing that.
Kiran Ganesh. Let's cross next to Mike Ryan, Chief Investment Strategist for UBS Wealth Management Americas, for the US perspective. Let's talk a little, Mike, about Donald Trump's first year and the market impact that's had. Looking back over, well, a year and a bit of Trump, well, or just under a year, I guess, in office, what are your key takeaways? Has it sort of lived up or down to your expectations?
Well, I think if you look at the market reaction, I think overall the markets have been supportive of the pro-growth policies that have been adopted by the Trump administration. Remember, one of the things that's really important about what happened in Washington, despite the ongoing polarization and a lot of the headlines about the unorthodox style of this administration, is that what was possible in Washington changed after the last November's election. Things like tax reform, regulatory relief, that were really off the radar screen, suddenly were pushed back onto the agenda. So if you ask me about what the markets have really reacted to was the understanding now that the administration would pursue a policy agenda that would include giving businesses freedom from some of the regulatory constraints that have been imposed over the course of the last 8 years, but importantly, revising the tax code in such a way that it would put U.S. corporations in a much better competitive position. So I think that's really what the markets were alluding to, and not sort of the daily drama headlines around every tweet that was coming out of Washington.
Mike, it's funny, talking to a couple of your colleagues throughout the year, really, and even looking to the future, and quite often we hear this refrain that ultimately politics, okay, it can have a big impact in the short term locally, and there can be things, huge geopolitical shifts that can make a difference. But actually, politics day to day doesn't really impact economics that much. Has the last 12 months served also to remind us of that to a degree?
I think it does. I think at the end of the day, it is about the economic fundamentals. Now, where politics does matter is where it drives policy. So here, I think what we've seen is that the continuity of monetary policy has certainly been supportive of markets. Even there was a lot of consternation about whether or not President Trump would replace Janet Yellen with someone who was a little bit more radicalized in terms of their approach to monetary policy. Instead, he appointed someone, Jay Powell, who suggested a continuation of policy. And then on the fiscal policy front, one of the things that, you know, certainly the political dynamic has changed a bit is the prospects that we actually get some fiscal relief. That comes in the form of both the tax cuts, which we don't expect to have a huge impact, at least not in the short term, on economic growth. But now the administration is also talking about teeing up infrastructure spending. So from that context, you know, politics can matter if it alters the policy mix that can ultimately impact the real economy.
Is there another takeaway on the Trump year, if you like, Mike Ryan, maybe on things that didn't happen rather than those that did?
Well, we certainly have seen a lot of provocative tweets. We've certainly seen a lot of uncertainty and stop and start communication that came out of the White House. In fact, we've seen the communications directors change several times at the White House. One thing that we have seen is perhaps some of the more extreme policy issues that many had feared seem to have been edged off a bit. Therefore, some of the things that we would have been more concerned about, for example, the initiation of a global trade war or a more belligerent approach towards how we interact with our allies, or even a more confrontational approach with some of our adversaries, while certainly there were times of tension in each of those three spaces, we never got to the point where there was a breakdown or where there was a fundamental derailing of processes. So there I would say that that's a little bit more encouraging, because there was a lot of fears going in about how this unorthodox style of the administration might translate either into the trade front, into how we deal with our important relationships and partners, or also how we would confront those who are seen as our adversaries.
Mike Ryan. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look this side of the pond at the European picture for the last 12 months, and we'll take the temperature in China too, as we continue our review of 2017. To Zurich, and a European and Eurozone picture next, with Ricardo Garcia, head of European macroeconomics in the UBS Wealth Management CIO. Let's get the main takeaway from you from a European viewpoint, Ricardo. And I guess the picture here has been pretty strong growth across the Eurozone, the recovery, and really a lot of sort of volatility that hasn't really affected that recovery.
Absolutely. We can say now in hindsight that this has been an excellent year for Europe, in particular the Eurozone. A lot of the risk didn't materialize, thinking back to the elections from the Netherlands, France, and also in Germany. And that could have come out worse, obviously, and as you say, didn't affect a lot of markets, with a focus obviously being the French election, given Le Pen's basically bid for the presidency. As we also said, growth has been very strong, has surprised us, but also practically all observers. The economy is firing on all cylinders. The unemployment rate is falling like a stone by about 1 percentage point by year. That is even would be a good result in the United States, which has a much higher trend growth rate. And all of that has helped, obviously, the European Central Bank to step ahead and envisage the end of quantitative easing, which obviously is of huge importance for markets in the Eurozone.
And tell me, Ricardo, a little bit about why that has happened that way. Because I guess it's easy to read the front pages of newspapers, for example, and to see lots of turbulence or the ongoing difficulties with, say, Brexit and the Brexit negotiations, for example. And you would imagine that it would be wreaking havoc with the economy. But is this old truth that actually politics often doesn't affect the economics? It can affect a little bit of the economics in the short term, especially locally. Yeah. But big picture-wise, it doesn't have the impact that perhaps you might imagine it would.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, if you can imagine, you know, with over 2,000 member states in the European Union, you have elections in every year. So in some ways, it would be also natural to have political uncertainty every year, derailing growth. What we have seen from experience in the Eurozone is that political events do become more relevant when they start to lead to dislocations. And I'm giving you a few examples. The Greek standoff in 2015, leading to capital controls in Greece, sentiment imploding there, or the standoff in Catalonia in Spain, that also led to worrisome developments before things started to calm down again. But when it comes to just standard elections without dislocations at hand, then usually the economy is in a wait-and-see mode in terms of the election, but continues to do its thing. And that's why we haven't seen much impact on overall growth, except for Spain this year.
What about a last note, Ricardo Garcia, on inflation? As that's been another interesting factor in the year just gone, hasn't it?
Following years of inflation disappointment, confidence and skepticism among servers, inflation has come back, even though we are still somewhat below the ECB target at around 1.5%. I would say that inflation has normalized, and we hope that over the next 1 or 2 years that this will be reflected in wages, which I'm sure a lot of listeners will be interested in.
Finally on the programme, our spotlight falls on China. Hartmut Issel is equity strategist in the UBS CIO, and he shares his perspectives from Singapore on China in 2017. Hartmut Issel, sum up for us, if you will, the last 12 months.
I would summarize it as a fairly successful effort by the government to, if you will, take care of that final outstanding issue to a larger extent, which is really the undue usage of credit in the past. I mean, if we recap a bit what happened since the financial crisis, I think Chinese authorities have done a really commendable job on weaning the economy off a bit that overly large dependence on investment and tilting it more towards consumption, right? Getting a bit away also from the export-driven side. The one that had been unresolved so far was really credit, right? Credit had still grown very, very fast. So that's sort of what they also mean by de-risking, right? So reining credit in a bit, not to bring it to a stop, of course, but flattening the indebtedness curve of the economy. That we're seeing hopeful signs of. That will also be one of the key drivers for 2018 already. So as far as we can say so far from 2017, they have managed it relatively smoothly. So without damaging the economic growth too much, of course, it will be slowing a little bit, but without outright damaging it, reining in that excessive credit growth, it seems to be that we're seeing some hopeful signs there.
Tell us a bit more about this idea of resilience. Where does this come from, Hartmut Issel? What have been the key drivers behind it?
A key development that has happened that actually started before 2017 already was a fairly severe cut in capex and investments, or in fact, the opposite of it almost, where a lot of capacities were closed all the way from cement, steel, aluminium, etc. These measures actually last to this day. So even though one would think that on an economic level this would have a very negative impact, of course it has a bit of a drag impact on investments. But another effect that it has is a very positive one on corporate earnings. In fact, especially on the large companies, many of them tend to be listed. So that is a bit of an offset. So you can still actually, with better cash flows, generate more equity, and that ultimately also helps to de-risk the economy. So that is one. Another one that we're watching is certainly the property space. We do believe that some of the measures that have been engineered actually also deliberately serve to cool the space down a bit further. So that's one of the moderate but nonetheless drags on the economic growth in 2018, possibly even 19. Yet at the same time, we also noticed that the inventory levels of unsold units, apartments, are much, much lower, about 10 months thereabout in the bigger cities compared to where they were, for example, 3-4 years ago. So you had a much steeper fall off that cliff. So therefore, also here, we think, yes, that the property space is one of the driving factors for the moderate slowdown in China. But at the same time, you have built in some security measures. And we think in any case, if broadly speaking, the slowdown becomes a bit too violent, then China will do what it always has done, i.e. it takes the foot a bit off the pedal of the reforms, the reshaping of the economy, if you will, and lets it recover a little bit.
Hartmut Issel, perhaps you could give us a final takeaway on the China space and the GDP v earnings picture.
We always stress, because many of the investors oftentimes sort of equate GDP growth with stock markets. I don't know where the investors, the stock market. So one comment I frequently make then is, due to these capacity cutting measures, what you do have is, on the one hand, you have a bit of a slowdown on GDP growth, but on the other hand, this is very good for industrial prices, so that those we're seeing going up, and with it, the so-called old economy even recovering in terms of profitability. My point is basically here that we're breaking out of a 6-year-long channel of pretty subpar growth, earnings growth in China, even though GDP growth was strong. We just need to make sure we understand, you know, that there isn't a direct link. As a matter of fact, you could almost argue right now it happens a bit the opposite way. So earnings become stronger structurally than they have been in the last 6 years up until last year, even though, yes, GDP growth numbers come down a little bit.
And that's Hartmut Issel bringing us to the end of this 168th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. Next week, we'll be looking ahead at what 2018 might hold in store. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.